welcome to Influential Visions. Here, we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. My name is Nathaniel Schooler, and I am your host today. I still laugh. Whenever Zoom, it's got this cheesy voice. No one else can hear it, I don't think, except you and I. But it's this cheesy woman. She says, "This meeting is being recorded." So today, I'm actually very happy that I'm joined by Chris Windley, and he's Global Sales and Marketing Director for Lujam Cyber. And you guys are based at the GCHQ, which is, to anyone that doesn't know, is the government communications headquarters. And all communications are monitored there for the UK government and any interests that they have abroad, obviously. And that's so the front bit, which is facing the public, is the National Cybersecurity Centre, right?
That's correct. Yeah, that's right, Nat. Yeah. So we've been in a thing called the Cybersecurity Accelerator in GCHQ, the National Cybersecurity Centre, for the last 2 years. And the accelerator, I mean, as we were saying earlier on, you know, people think there's nothing going on to combat cybercrime. That's not true. 3 years ago, you know, we applied to get into the Cyber Accelerator, and what they want in there is they want people with innovative ways of tackling cybercrime. Right. So they basically bring them, you know, we're the second cohort, and then moved on to the third cohort, as they call it. Yeah.
It's a very official word, cohort, yeah, in marketing terms.
Yeah, target, Roman, isn't it? Roman, a cohort, a cohort of Romans.
But so today we're going to talk about secure remote working in a lockdown, because, you know, I mean, it's very difficult. A lot of companies have, you know, been forced to obviously leave people and say, look, sorry guys, you need to work from home. So it's a very tricky one, isn't it, for a lot of businesses right now with this?
Yeah, well I sort of think it's funny, actually, you know, because there's a lot of CEOs that, you know, would not support people working from home remotely, if you like, that are now having to, aren't they, you know? And so they'll have to put aside all of the theories that they had on why everybody had to travel into the office, you know, which, you know, and I always, you know, just to poke them, and I was always ask them, you know, like, what are these theories about why you have to travel into the office and all work together?
It's a difficult time for a lot of businesses. I mean, in particular, the small to medium sized businesses, obviously, are finding it quite tough, right? So, how do they work on being cyber resilient in this climate, Chris?
Yeah, well, so I mean, I think firstly, you know, so just to say to people that I've basically worked from home for 20 years myself, right? I've started and run businesses from home for about 20 years. And the CEO of Lujam Cyber, he himself, he set up Lujam Cyber because he was actually working with investment banks, and he was like, you know, basically doing what we call vulnerability and penetration testing in those banks, you know, looking for holes, if you like, in their systems and that. But he would be crunching the data mainly from home, right? And so he realized that actually he was a backdoor into those investment banks. Yeah, and that's going back, you know, 6 or 7 years ago, something like that. So basically, Lujam Cyber was founded on the basis that Tim was looking for you know, what we say now is our strapline sort of now is basically enterprise level security that's simple to use for the price of a mobile phone contract. Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, what going back to like 5-6 years ago, you know, he tried to set himself up as cyber secure and it was complicated. It was expensive. It, you know, it was just too difficult. I mean, he's a really technical guy, you know, you know, he found it hard. So no wonder your average SMB finds it hard.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. It is hard.
It is hard, you know, and it's hard, you know, people, first of all, it's hard for some people to understand how you can work remotely, right? But then, on top of that, how to, you know, be secure, cyber secure, when you're working remotely. Well, that's another matter, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, you know, people are being sent home now. I've worked from home for 10 years as well. Yeah. So I sort of know, you know, I know what it's like. It's not easy if you're not set up correctly. Right. But the thing is that, you know, the most important thing is obviously your virus protection. Yeah. You know, people need to get their virus protection in order, but what else do you think is important for people?
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a really good question. Right. So, one thing that people should look at, Google, if you like, right, is what's called the Cyber Essentials 5 Controls, right?
And
they will probably find an article or some description about the Cyber Essentials 5 Controls, right, on the National Cyber Security Center website, for example.
Okay.
Right. You know, this is an important message to get across, if you like, you know, because not many people are aware of this, right? But there is a standard which is called Cyber Essentials, right? And within Cyber Essentials, there are 5 control areas, right? Mm-hmm. And if you implement those 5 control areas, the National Cyber Security Center says you will stop around 80%, if you like, of the cyber attacks. Straight away, right?
That's very good.
Now, you know, we as Lujam Cyber, in the work that we've done, which we can talk about later maybe, you know, we say that by implementing our solution, we can stop 95% of the cyber attacks that commonly occur. And going to address your question, right? So If we just imagine you or I, where we are in our homes, if you like, working from home, what do we have there, right? Well, obviously, we have a broadband coming into our home, right, which has got a router of some description on it, yeah? And some people have implemented a firewall. Some people have, right? Yep. Actually, the typical thing is that nobody's heard of a firewall, or if they have heard of it, they don't know how to set it up.
Mm-hmm.
The typical SMB, right?
Yeah.
So what it basically means is that your router and your firewall are probably in default mode, right? They're in default configuration, right?
Yeah.
Which is pretty easy for somebody to hack, for an experienced hacker to hack, right?
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that'll be what they have. And also, as you quite rightly say, probably the most widely implemented thing is the antivirus, right? Most people have got antivirus loaded on their laptops or their PCs.
Yeah? Right, right.
Which is great, right?
Yeah.
So basically, what we do is we sort of make an assumption, right? And we can put a physical sensor into somebody's premises, which literally that sensor, it just plugs into the router. That's it, you know, and it's a very easy setup, right? It will work with the antivirus. It will work with the existing firewall if it's there, right?
Yeah.
And the objective is basically to get that environment up to this 95% protection level,
Got you.
Within 7 days, right? So that's what we say, that we can get up. Now, we have a physical sensor, or we can send in a virtual sensor
right
as well.
Right.
And basically how we do it is we discover all of the devices that somebody has in their home. Now, how many devices do you think people have on average in their homes?
Wow. I mean, I've got an iWatch, I've got a phone, I've got a laptop, which I don't use that often, and I've got a desktop. So right. that's just four. And then I've got a Google Chrome, I've got a Google tablet that I don't use. That's just for my Google Authenticator app, just in case my iPhone dies, because I don't want to write down all the freaking codes. And then there could be the printers, because I wrote a blog recently for Brother, the printer company, and printers are a massive gray area, aren't they? Because they can connect to the internet as well, right? It's dodgy old world right now with all this stuff. But the problem is, people see these things as a cost to their business, and they need to turn it on their head. They need to take a good look at themselves and say, well, actually, what would happen if my website got hacked and it died and I didn't actually know how to fix it? That's the first thing, If they had to download their whole website from a backup program that a hosting environment has and then re-upload it, could they do it? And if they did it, how long would it take them to do, right? All of these things. I've been through all of these problems myself. I was victimized for nearly 2 years. I have a friend of mine, he had the same thing happen to him. So I know what this feels like. I know what it feels like as a not a solopreneur, but as an SMB. I know what that feels like. And, it can kill your business overnight. I mean, imagine having a website and not taking care of that properly. It can, all you need to do is click the wrong Facebook friend request. And for that to be on your network, and that can destroy your website immediately. If your website's open and you're in the back of it, you press one thing, boom, and your website's dead. I had it happen to me, and it was the fastest learning curve that I've been through my whole career. Within 15 minutes, I managed to download it and re-upload it to the host. But if I hadn't have had that knowledge, you can't rely on other companies to do these things. You need to do it yourself and learn how it works, really. That's my opinion, for me.
Yeah, well, okay, so just let me shock you a minute, right?
Please do.
Because typically what we see in homes in terms of number of connected devices is around 70 or 80.
Wow.
Right? So now I am admittedly talking about techies houses, right? Yeah, but we will commonly see a family of four, right, with 70 or 80 devices in their house that are connected online, and that are exposed to attack, right? And you've probably seen that the same as I've seen, the video about, I can't remember who did it now, but, where they hack the printer first and then they get from the printer, if you like, into your main systems or something
that.
Yeah. So this is, this is, first of all, actually, in all honesty, it was a shock to us as well. Right?
Really?
It was a shock to us, how many devices people had installed. Our CEO, Tim, he loves to tell the story of his father, who's in his 80s or whatever it is now, and has got, 30 or 40 devices in his house,
Wow.
Because he's got Sonos speakers all around the place that are Wi-Fi connected, He's got a burglar alarm that's connected. He's got CCTV cameras, All of these things, right? So it is a massive shock. And also, just to go to your story, actually, so the last 20 years I've been an angel investor and a consultant to high technology companies, and Tim and I were in the Navy together, when I looked at what he was doing, I basically poo-pooed it, you know, to put it simply, right? Yeah. I basically sort of said, no, I don't think so. That won't work, right? In, you know, commercially and that. But I installed one in my house, which I've got in my house just down, just over there where the broadband comes in and the router sits, right? Mm-hmm. And I went to bed, and in a early in the morning, before I was awake properly, as some of the sad people do, I looked at my mobile phone, right? Okay. And I looked at LinkedIn, and on LinkedIn, there was a message from a first level connection of mine, who I know. Yeah. And it basically said, hey, Chris, I'm just sending you this proposal. Have a quick look at this, right? And maybe we can work together on it.
Yeah.
And I wasn't thinking, right? I clicked on it. Yeah, boom, like that. And the alarm bells went off. The Lou Jam cyber alarm bells went off. And I went, oh, that's a bit odd. Yeah. And so anyway, I just said, you know, look, I don't know what's gone on, but I can't look at this attachment, right? Yeah. And so I'll have to come back to you. And, you know, when I get down the stairs and get my laptop set up and all the rest of it, you know. So I then came down, went to look for that LinkedIn profile and message, and it had gone. So I went, oh, that's a bit odd. Well, I knew this person. So I basically I called them, right?
Yeah.
And I spoke to his PA, and she said, Chris, I know what you're calling about. Wow. She said, he got hacked. You know, all of these messages went out to everybody.
Wow.
And now we're trying to deal with the fallout, right? Yeah, exactly. And that was a, you know, that was a substantial company in the East Midlands, right? And of course, and let me tell you this as well, this story as well, right, is that, so I wasn't really in cybersecurity, you know, until the last 2 years. I go to quite a few select networking groups. You know, people obviously, well, obviously I wasn't in, when I was first in them, I wasn't in cybersecurity. So people never talked to me about cybersecurity. And then I told them I was in cybersecurity. And then I would get, I'll just be careful how I say this, a lot of professional people coming up to me and telling me that they'd been hacked and what should they do? Right. Or giving me some sob story, if you like, about the fact that they were hacked. They lost a lot of money. They didn't know what to do at the time, you know, and the damage that it caused to their businesses, you know.
It's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. It can be just paralyzing. It can put them out of business, some of these people. I mean, look at that recent one with what was the currency provider that was hacked recently? And I forget, it was the one at all the airports, the currency one. If you carry on talking,
Travel something or other, isn't it?
Travelex.
Yeah,
that was out of action for weeks. Weeks. It wasn't just days.
And they had to move to manual transactions.
Yes, they did. awful. I mean, well, it's nothing now compared to what's going on in the world right now. However, so there are ways you can minimize your security risk, right? And I mean, this chap probably didn't have two-factor authentication on his LinkedIn account, or his password wasn't long enough, or he surfed the internet in a Wi-Fi hotspot or something where someone hacked him. Yeah, I mean, it's very easy for hackers, if they really know what they're doing, you know, they just create a document, they send you an email, and it's called phishing, isn't it? And then you respond, and then they respond, and then you get a conversation going, and then they give you bank details and tell you to change the account number you're paying the payment to, which is kind of a regular thing. So How do people minimize the risk? Is it to not click links when they're half sleepy? I mean, you know, I've clicked links when I'm tired, and it causes my virus protection to go off myself. So,
yeah. Well, you know, Nat, one of the things I say is that people have, in many ways, lost their animal instincts, right? Okay. They, you know, because, and the other thing to say is that basically, if I talk to, so we basically work through technology companies, technology resellers, so managed service providers, cybersecurity consultants, people like that, it's mainly, and I can explain how we got to that if you want, but one of those, he will basically say, there's three things here, Chris. There's people, there's processes, and there's technology. Have you heard that?
Yeah. I've heard that. Yeah. It's good.
Yeah, right. So, and you know, you have to work on all three to solve the problem here, right? So obviously, we at Lujam, we're providing technology that helps, right?
Yeah.
But you have to have the right processes in place, you know. So you have to have a process in place, as you know, which stops you from doing that thing, you know, where you go, okay, I've got an email from my boss telling me to transfer to, and I know somebody who did this, right? I've got an email from my boss telling me to transfer £250,000 to this bank account that I've never heard of before, right?
You know someone that's done that?
Yes.
And they pushed the button?
They did.
Oh.
It went.
They're never going to get that back.
No.
That's painful. I'm sorry to laugh, but that's painful. I can feel that pain.
Yeah. It is. You know, now, actually, thankfully, I can tell you, you know, that, you know, the people that we've got in place, particularly in the UK, right, in terms of the police, the regional organised crime units and the regional cyber crime units and that, and GCHQ, National Cyber Security Centre, are amazing, right?
Right.
And I don't know about that particular one, but I have heard about money being recovered very quickly.
That's good. So can I stop you there a sec? So you're rolling out all of these centres, aren't you, to help people to minimise security risk? Because I heard about it on the news. Yeah, that's why I was really happy when you said that we could do an interview, because SMBs and solopreneurs and stuff, they really need help with this kind of stuff. Yeah, because they're kind of the big vendors are very, very big. And a lot of these micro businesses really need help. I mean, sure, we're gonna have a lot of problems in the next few weeks, months and whatever. But without the technology supporting them and the security, companies are going to struggle even more, because all of these people who were stealing face to face are going to be on lockdown. So they're going to be messing around with their computers trying to scam people, aren't they?
Absolutely. And again, you know, one of the things I want to emphasize here, Nat, which I think, you know, we said anyway when we were talking before, is that, you know, the public thinks that there's nothing going on. You know, the hackers have got a free rein. Nobody's doing anything about it, right?
Yeah.
You know, they don't know about GCHQ. They don't know about the National Cyber Security Centers. They don't know about the police ROCUs and the RCCUs. They don't know where to turn to help. I understand that, right? I understand that. So one of the things that's going on at the minute, and this process started years ago, right, is that, yes, we, GCHQ, National Cyber Security Centre, and now an organisation called BRIM, Business Resilience International Management, is rolling out across the UK business resilience and cyber resilience centres, right?
Super.
So there are, and these are underway, right? So therefore, you can imagine that the planning on these was years ago, right? Yeah. So we've basically, there's one set up in Scotland, one in Manchester, one in the Northeast, and we're just launching the East Midlands. and we're working on the West Midlands and Wales, and we're working south towards you, where you are, right?
Great.
And basically, you know, one of our remits, if you like, is to get the message to SMBs, right, that there is, there are things that they can do, right? Yeah. Because, you know, we know that they haven't got the message and they haven't got a simple message. And I can't remember where I said this to you the other day, you know, but Bill Gates, you know, in 2015, you've probably seen that video where he predicted, right, that, you know, what would happen would be that there would be a germ, you know, warfare situation,
if
you like.
I've heard of it. I haven't seen it, but yeah.
Yeah, there would be a pandemic, if you like, right? And he said, you know, we're better trained, basically, for nuclear war than we are for germ war or cyber war.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, where we've got to get to is we've got to get to the situation. Like I said to somebody the other day, what would you do if you got hacked? An SMB. Right? And they said, I don't know. And that's what I expected to get. Right? Because they don't know. They don't have, you know, a plan, which would be like, what do I do in the event of a nuclear attack?
Right.
Plan. Yeah. Yeah? Yeah. You know, people, even now, we, you know, we're not even really from, well, we are partly from that age, right? We probably know better what to do in a nuclear attack than we do in a cyber attack or a germ attack.
Oh, I don't know. I think I'd probably panic in a nuclear attack. But but cyber attack, because I was victimized for so long, I kind of, like, I've got, you know, I've got my stuff backed up. I kind of know what I need to do pretty much. Yeah. I know what's important. And you know what? Most of the stuff, if I lose it, it is what it is. I've got it backed up. If the podcasting host that I use gets hacked and all the podcasts disappear, it is what it is. Yeah. It's a good drama. Right. But that, but those episodes I've got backed up somewhere else anyway. Right. You know, they're up there in the cloud. They're on my machine and they're on my device. I've got, you know, BitLocker encryption on my drives. You know, my buddy runs my host for my website. So I've got 30-day rolling backup on there that I can download and upload, and you know, and WordPress, now I use WordPress because I love it. It is such a good platform because it actually alerts you to a problem and then it will fix it for you even these days, which is phenomenal. You know, there's some great stuff going on, but how do you, so minimizing your security risk really is just being more aware, being more careful, learning about what you need to do, and perhaps hiring a company to assist you if you really need that, right? I mean, is that
fair to say? Yeah. Well, you know, we've just put up on the existing Business Resilience Center and Cyber Resilience Center sites on the website, we've just put up a who to contact in the event of a cyber attack list, mm-hmm. right? So that's one list that you need, right?
That's good.
But actually as well, the other thing that you need is you need a plan, right? I mean, if you talk to, you know, serious cybersecurity center people and that cybersecurity people, you know, what they basically say is you need a plan, you need to practice that plan, right? In terms of, you know, who you contact, if you like, at what stage, yeah? And that's what we need as well. You know, I've got it. I haven't got it, to be honest with you, but we're working on, you know, something that you can stick up on the wall and it goes, you've been, you know, cyber attacked, do this, boom, 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 you know, right?
Yeah.
And then of course, you know, then you also want your trusted partners in place, right? So, you know, one thing that people have not really understood, right, is that there has been, you know, a big move to companies using managed service providers, right? Probably about, I think they've probably got about 50% penetration rate, something right. like and that.
When you say a managed service provider, you're talking about a managed security service provider or managed software provider. What are you actually talking about?
Right. Well, let's start with managed service provider, right? Yeah. Because and let's just highlight the fact, right, that the hackers worked out that if they can hack a managed service provider who's got 50, 100, 500 clients, they've hacked the clients as well.
Yeah.
So where do you think the hackers are going to go for? They're going to go for the managed service providers, right?
Right, got you.
So globally, right, you've got a scenario where managed service providers are trying to upskill to become, let's call them, managed security services providers.
If you right, know. I've got you.
And so, in fact, I was talking to the CEO of one of our partners, Matt Namara, in London, just yesterday, right? And he was saying, first of all, the first thing that they did 2 months or so ago, right, is that they did their own practice of basically abandoning the office and working from home.
Ah, very good, very good.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And that, you know, which was basically a test, right? Can we run all of our clients, if you like, remotely from our houses? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then once they'd done that, and I'm glad to say that worked, right? Once they'd done that, the CEO there, who's really switched on, CISO type guy, right? The CISO there said, right, okay, we're working from home from now, right? And now what we're going to do is we're going to tell our clients they should basically start doing the same thing. So we didn't quite understand why. We can see like live networks, you know, as one of our partners puts a client and it goes live, we see that come up, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we could see the number of live networks climbing at McNamara, but we didn't know why. It turned out what they were doing was they were getting them ready for this. Right?
Very good. That's very good.
Isn't it
cool? Bit of forethought there, definitely. So
yeah.
So I mean, we've talked a bit about minimizing your security risk. You know, we could talk for hours just about that one thing. I mean, you know as well as I do, right? People are the weakest link in a lot of these things. That's been proven. Yeah, like, is it something like 90% of hacks is a people phishing or whatever, and they just take a download or they click a link. And then it damages the system and everything. But so the next question is a big one right now because of this problem that we're in. How to mitigate risk in the security supply chain is a big one.
Mm, okay. Well, in the mitigating risk in the supply chain, right, I can tell you is, I don't know what to say, but it's a major issue for enterprises, right? Mm-hmm. It's a major issue for, you know, defense and manufacturing organizations. You know, we, without going into too much detail about it, because I can't, you know, but I can tell you that, you know, we have what are called the primes, the big primes, defense and manufacturing primes, who come into GCHQ, National Cybersecurity Center, and they basically say, okay, our problem is this, right? Okay. And basically what they say is, you know, that they themselves, the enterprises, they've got all the money and all the people to basically secure themselves. You know, they're basically secure. You know, you want to get into one of those enterprises, you're going to have to work hard as a hacker, right?
Yeah.
But they know that their supply chain, which of course is small, medium businesses, typically, or mid-sized businesses, right? They are the back door into them, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it's them that they're really worried about, yeah? And it's them that, you know, actually we have most of what we do is sort of, if you like, to the general public, right? But we have another huge project where we're working with select primes and that to secure their supply chains, right? Now, part of this is also covered, going right back to where we were in the beginning, right? part of it is sort of covered by the Cyber Essentials scheme, right? Because a lot of governments, not just the UK, but internationally, and that have basically said to their suppliers, if you want to be a supplier, you have to go through Cyber Essentials certification. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Either basic or Cyber Essentials.
Oh yes, I read that. That's very important, and I think that's a very good idea. Yeah,
yeah, it's a great idea, right? But if I'm going to be cruel about it, I probably shouldn't be because somebody's going to kick me for it, right? But if I'm going to be cruel about it, one of the problems with that, right, is that it's a bit like an MOT certificate. And it's a bit like, you know, it can be, yeah. To be so careful what I'm saying here, it can be a bit like, you know, go and see your mate at the garage, if you like, get them to run you through the MOT certificate.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And don't worry about the bald tires and the crack in the windscreen, yeah, because it's not a problem, yeah?
It can be. But one of the things I will say is that, again, National Cybersecurity Centre and an organisation called IASME, Information Assurance for SMEs, right? They've basically just, if you like, raised the bar, right, to all of their certification bodies, right? And they've said, that's not good enough. We've got to do a better job, right? We've got to make them these people cyber secure, especially the supply chain, going back to that, right? And actually, that is... So that has been our main project, right? Is basically, because basically what we do is we provide 24/7, 365 continuous monitoring against the Cyber Essentials or other international standard, if you like ISO 27001, against those standards, right? So obviously that means instead of waiting for the annual recertification, if you like, to come up, right, we are continuously monitoring to that standard, right?
Got you.
We don't do certification, Lujam, ourselves, but the environment will be certified to that level so somebody can come in and do the certification.
Right, so show due diligence or whatever, yeah.
Exactly, and you know, obviously... You know, my CEO is sort of better at saying this, right? But, you know, you need to prove compliance.
Yeah.
You know, if you can prove compliance and you can prove and you can, you know, get certification and that reduces the risk. And, you know, just as a for example, the knock-on benefit of that is your cyber insurance will be lower.
Of course. And especially if you run internal training programs for your business. I mean, all it takes is for someone in the accounts department to just click a link. Yeah. And then they can come in and hack your webmail. And then, you know, your Outlook sends messages to your customers or your suppliers. And that creates problems in itself, you know, but. Yeah. It's not, as far as I'm concerned, it's not a matter of if you get hacked. It's just a matter of when, right? I mean, let's be realistic, about it. Yeah. And, you know, look at some of the biggest companies in the world have been hacked. And they say, sorry, we're changing passwords for everyone. Or sorry, we've just given out X amount of data. And it's like, it is what it is, yeah? We need to live with it. But we also, I think, need to do something about it, really, as much as we can afford. Yeah. So if people want to get hold of you, they can contact me on LinkedIn and I can hook you up. Or what's the best way if they want to speak to you?
Well, I've done a lot of work, as I think you know, sort of in digital sales and marketing. So I'm pretty. If you just Google Chris Windley, you'll find me.
Cool. Well, thank you, Chris. It's been really fantastic. Really enjoyable.
Okay, Nat. Well, thank you ever so much as well for the opportunity. It's really important, particularly at this time.
Thanks for listening. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections too. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thank you.